morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Day Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner here on site. David Solomon back at our beautiful Kirkwood studio. Guardy and I are at the Slider House, one of our favorite spots. We're here every Friday for the Midday Grind, but also, Guardy, the show that when Andy Strickland's here, I don't know if we have a name for it yet, but Strix isn't here for this hour, but he will be here for the next hour from 1 to 2 for Hockey Sense. And he wants us to tell everybody he has Paul Kariya coming up in that 1 o'clock hour. So that should be fun here live from the Slider House. Manchester and McKnight, great sliders, a great collection of beer as well. I've come to the Slider House many times. Before we were here once a week for radio, my wife and I usually come here about once a month to eat. And we've lately also been carrying out where you get this nice little deal. You get a couple sliders and a side. Maybe you want to go with the Parmesan fries or sweet potato fries, but it's a very good deal. Two sliders and a side, and then you come on in, you get some nice beer specials as well. But hello, Guardy. Happy Thanksgiving. How did it go for you?
I had quite the feast out in Granite City, Illinois. Went out to my girlfriend's parents' house. The spread, delectable.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed. In terms of sides, I like when I get the sweet potatoes that have, like, the pecans in them and stuff like that. So it's a little sweeter, so you don't want to do too much of it. You got to watch yourself, or else it's going to make your stomach hurt. So I did overeat and eat too much of that as well. So a combination of eating too much of the sweet stuff and food in general was not a good combo for me for a couple of hours. But probably the biggest thing to come out of the meal is I found out my girlfriend's mom has a Keith Urban quilt. And they told me this at first. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? A Keith Urban quilt. Apparently a friend of hers made a quilt out of T-shirts from Keith Urban concerts.
That's kind of cool.
That she's been to. And then my girlfriend tells me, oh, yeah, I've been to a Keith Urban concert three times. I'm like, you? And because my girlfriend's not – she likes Tool. She likes Pussifer. She likes Nirvana. She wears like...
Pussifer, huh? I've never heard of this band.
Yeah, it's an offshoot of another... I think it's an offshoot of Tool, actually.
Okay.
But she wears KC95 t-shirts that are like 30, 40 years old. So I did not picture her going to a Keith Urban concert. Apparently her mother is in love with Keith Urban, and the only person that'll go with her to the concerts is my girlfriend. So I went up and viewed this quilt, and that was the most fascinating thing that I learned on Thanksgiving, at least.
I like that. And you mentioned pecans, either way you want to call it. We have so many leftovers at our house right now that I barely could fit everything in our refrigerator last night. I got home late from Fox 2. I anchored all the shows at Fox 2. And my wife, who's going on, I guess, 7.5 months pregnant, there was a bunch of stuff in her car that her dad had loaded in her car. So I said, when I get home, I'll just take everything out of your car. I don't want you to have to lift it all. And I could barely fit all this stuff in the fridge. So it's like midnight. I wasn't even necessarily hungry. I'd already eaten Thanksgiving dinner earlier. But
were
then
you
I
drinking,
just start,
though?
I did have one Jack Daniels last night when I got home. But I'm just, as I'm putting all this food away, I start kind of picking at it. I'm cutting on the turkey. Uh-huh. I'm eating this and that. There's a pecan pie. And I could barely fit everything in the fridge. But once I finally do, the pie, I feel like I didn't need to put it in the fridge. I could just leave it out on the counter. So this morning I wake up, and I do the morning after. But this was out of just pure laziness that I could have easily went into the fridge and made myself a little plate of turkey, let's say, and some green bean casserole and something healthy. But the only thing that was sitting out there that I could see was the pecan pie. So I had a piece. I went and did the morning after. I go back home, and I got about a two-hour break before we come back here to Slider House, and I just kept eating the pecan pie. It's almost totally gone. And all I've eaten today is probably the equivalent of three pieces of pecan pie, and I'm bouncing off the wall, but it's not – I have the highs and lows, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's instant offense, and then it's lethargy just from like sugar rushes coming and going.
It's like watching Carson when Martin brings him on a remote
yes.
with us. We made him run around a building once because he had so much sugar in him, and then he calmed down some. So you're kind of in that mode. It was one of the listeners brought you guys on TMA some food in the other day. Who was that?
Wayne Turley, okay. Great guy, friend of the show, and he runs the Catherine Cares charity, which if you want to contribute to that, it's a great cause, and they get bears for kids and for families who have lost loved ones, and they get these specialized little bears after sometimes the child has passed away,
mm-hmm.
and it's Catherine Care. So, yeah, Wayne Turley brought some pecan pie,
yep.
homemade it looked like,
yes,
and then some tri-tip that he had smoked earlier, which was fantastic.
By the time you guys left, there was probably about half that pecan pie left sitting on the table right side out the studio. So I didn't take a slice of it, but I walked by it four times, and I wasted four spoons because I went and just grabbed a spoon and just scooped a whole bunch out and then took a bite and threw the spoon away. Like every time I was walking by it, I'm like, it's just another spoon. I'll just get a scoop out here. Then I'm getting yelled at because I didn't slice it right and everything like that. This morning, I'm sitting at work at 9:30 with a bag of Ruffles sour cream and cheddar chips and a leftover turkey sandwich that I made this morning. Piled with turkey, bit your basic white bread, mayo on both pieces of bread, and some sharp cheddar cheese.
That sounds good. And the thing about Thanksgiving weekend, especially because Thanksgiving being on a Thursday, so before the weekend even starts, you're just gorging yourself. So then today you have all the leftovers, and the weekend hasn't even started where maybe you're going to just kind of continue. You got some more good football games. You got the Iron Bowl. You got Michigan, Ohio State. You got NFL if you like to watch on the weekend. There's almost no point of – there's no point in holding back until Monday. Like,
right.
Are you really going to go to the gym? Like, in my head, yeah, I'll go work out. Am I going to? Probably not. I have a couple dumbbells that I sit in front of a mirror. Just I will run over there and just kind of do a couple reps here and there, and that mentally makes it – feel like I've worked out even though I'm doing like one set. But I mean, at this point, you might as well just strap on the feed bag, go all the way through Sunday, and then kind of reflect on your life on Monday and do the turnaround.
There's no, well, it's not like I'm going to be that guy anyway to begin with. But if I were, it wouldn't make sense because tomorrow, notice I didn't go to my parents' house on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Talked to Grandma Gardner, talked to Grandma and Grandpa Evans, talked to my mom and dad on the phone, but didn't see him on Thanksgiving because we're going over there tomorrow for a 2 o'clock feast. So I'm only going to have more leftovers to go with what I already have. So it even if I were a guy that, you know, went to the gym instead of going by the gym, it wouldn't have made sense for me anyway.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the whole weekend. Thanksgiving, a great time to spend with friends and family and just eat all weekend long. And like you said, you can just kind of get back to normalcy on Monday. I want to tell you about Appliance Discounters, 6 convenient locations in Missouri and Illinois. Check them out in Webster Groves, South St. Louis County, St. Charles, Baldwin, St. Louis City, and Fairview Heights, Illinois, and on the web at theappliancediscounters.com. We were talking before the show. You said Tiger Woods was trending, which is interesting because,
yeah, it scared
of course,
me.
Yeah, Thanksgiving time going back. How long ago was that now?
I actually, in reading this morning after, like, I popped up the computer.
You know, 9 years?
Up the laptop. Close. Eight years.
Okay.
Because I see his name on the left side of my Twitter, Trends for You, Tiger Woods, and I'm like, is this an anniversary of some sort, or did something happen again?
So it was Thanksgiving of 2009.
If that is the correct math, and I'm not good at that, but...
But he's not trending because of any improprieties,
no.
or any woman hitting him or trying to beat his car with a golf club. I was checking Twitter earlier, and I did have to mention, I see our president who likes to tweet, and I found this funny because he tweets out, basically, I'm golfing, I think at the Jupiter Trump Golf Club. He says, I'm golfing with Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson, but then he put, quickly. He's golfing quickly. Uh-huh. Clearly, this whole debate the last, let's go back 8 years, where everybody said, oh, Obama golfed too much, and now everybody says Trump golfed too much. Now, I don't really care either way. I mean, if that's your stress relief, I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, in between. you know, that's a tough job. So if you want to go golf, and that's your way to kind of get away from it for a second and clear your mind, or you're probably still thinking about all the important things going on in our country, that's fine. But I just found it funny that he put quickly, because clearly people are in his ear about not making it look like he's golfing too much. And it just kind of reminded me of that movie House Guest with a Sinbad where they played speed golf.
Is that so Phil Hartman?
Yeah. So I was wondering, you know, are they just playing nine? Is it a quick nine holes, or is it just kind of a speed golf round?
I think just nobody's on the course in front or behind them, and they get to go at the, whatever pace they choose. Now, here's what I would want. Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, Donald Trump, all playing golf together. Is there another person in that foursome? You really don't need it. What I need, however, is I need somebody to be wired so I could hear what the conversation is like for the day.
How great would those conversations be?
I want to know what's talked about.
You got three dudes who are super successful, but also have some very interesting off-the-course lifestyles.
Yeah.
Issues, you know, good and bad. Tiger Woods, we know about all the women at this point. You have Dustin Johnson, where he got away from golf for a while. There was an issue there, but he's with Paulina Gretzky, and then Donald Trump, who's 70 years old but has had many, many women over the years. So that would be an interesting round of golf, just to kind of be a fly on the wall and listen to the stories being told.
Or even more so than stories, like where the conversation goes after those stories, too. Now, what could blow my mind is if they all go out to Perkins for breakfast afterwards. Now, that would be – that would just top everything off, I think, for me.
Also want to tell you guys about Bertarelli Cutlery, one of our favorite sponsors here on 590 The Fan. In 1967, Felice Bertarelli started Bertarelli Cutlery in his garage with his four sons. For the last 50 years, his family business has been dedicated to providing the finest service possible, whether it be knife sharpening for the commercial or residential kitchen, food prep, equipment repair, or offering quality paper products such as register tape, to-go boxes, and hygienic gloves. While they have grown over the last 50 years, they still offer the same face-to-face service that has been their trademark for three generations. It's Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill at 1927 Marconi, or on the web at BertarelliCutlery.com. I wanted to hold off talking about Missouri basketball because the game was on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want people listening maybe to go to another station and listen to the end of the game, because it was a really good game. Not so much the last couple minutes, but really almost, you know, the first 36, 37 minutes I was watching the game at home, and it was a really competitive game. Missouri basketball just ended. They beat St. John's 90-82. The Tigers improving to 5-1 on the season. Chris Mullen coaching St. John's, and they were 5-0 entering that game. I haven't looked at their schedule, but St. John's, a name program, and Chris Mullen still has that beautiful flat top. I took a picture of it. I tweeted it out.
I saw that.
I mean, he just got the great flat top. He and Howie Long, there's nobody better. Just, it's so perfectly coiffed, and I don't know if he has to go and get it just kind of detailed and kind of cleaned up every once in a while, but it's just, it's a beautiful look.
It's like if you go with the flat top hairstyle at a certain age, like let's say it would be like 27 or something like that, you're basically expected to have that the rest of your life, I feel. Like the flat top, once you wear it at such a later age in life.
You can't go
back. I don't know what exact age that is, but it's like you're expected then to continue wearing that. It looks the same as when he was on NBA Jam. I mean, it's his face might have changed a little bit. He might be getting a little older, a few more wrinkles. But the hair, the color seems the same. I struggle with colors, so I'm not really sure completely, but it seems the same to me. But a flat top is always going to have a sharp look to it if done right.
And I'm watching all these college basketball tournament games the last couple of days. You always have the Maui Invitational where the coaches are wearing the Hawaiian shirts. And I guess Mike Bray now, he's wearing shorts.
Shorts and a T-shirt.
I'm watching this game, and the coaches all look really casual. They got a three-button polo that looks nice, but they got kind of slacks on. Some of the guys aren't even tucking it in. I was watching last night. It was Michigan State and DePaul, same deal at a different tournament. The coaches are all wearing those three-button polos. And I was kind of thinking, why is it different? Okay, so Mizzou's playing this tournament down at Disney World. Okay, and everybody's wearing slacks and a three-button polo. Why is it different all of a sudden if you play in Columbia or you play in the SEC that now a college basketball coach has to wear a suit?
I don't know.
I think it's kind of dumb.
And now it feels like an AAU tournament.
Yeah.
It does. I guess they're just trying to give it that feel. Are these games not as important? If you're Roy Williams and you go casual, what are you going to throw? Roy was known for throwing his coat all over the place. Like, it'll come off 5 minutes into a game sometimes. So, I mean, we've seen coaches throw their coats before, their jackets. And, I mean, this kind of situation, if you're able to, you know, casual it down, what does that mean for Bob Huggins? What does he wear? Nothing
a
at
wife,
that point?
A wife beater?
Yeah, I know. I mean, my God, he's already wearing jumpsuits. So what is he going to wear to be more casual?
And if you're a Missouri basketball fan, you get the really bad news early in the week on Michael Porter Jr., but you have to like the way the team's bounced back the last couple games. They're at this tournament down in Orlando, and Long Beach State apparently is not a terrible team. Yesterday, they just blow out Long Beach State, 95-58, I believe, was the final. So they just blow them out of the gym. They're up at 22 points at halftime, and they basically just kind of kept that rolling in the second half. And then the game just ended. They beat St. John's 90-82. So Mizzou now 5-1 on the season, and they're two games since the Michael Porter news. They've been impressive. They will now play in the championship game of this tournament on Sunday. And they're taking on the winner of Central Florida and a ranked West Virginia team.
Right.
So that would be fun if they're taking on West Virginia. You can see them matching up on a neutral court versus a team that's ranked right now.
A West Virginia team that I don't know if – I mean, you say they're ranked, so you think it would be a tough go of it for Mizzou. But they disappointed severely, I think, in one of their first two games of the year against Mississippi – was it Mississippi State? No, it was not. It was Texas A&M they played. They got blown out of the gym, and Texas A&M was missing, like, one of their better players, too. So I don't know if West Virginia could be vulnerable in that sense if it ends up indeed being that matchup, but I don't mind seeing Huggy Bear anytime. I love watching him on the sideline.
He's good for business,
yeah.
And whenever you watch that game, you stay to watch the interview, whether it's halftime, he walking into the locker room, or after the game, especially the halftime one, because you know he really doesn't want to do it. He's kind of the Greg Popovich of college basketball, where he knows it's probably part of the contract where, hey, you have to do the interview as you walk to the locker room, but he hates doing it.
Yeah.
And he's not a total jerk about it, but he answers the question as quickly and as concisely as possible to get the interview over with.
And let's not forget this, too. This is indeed the matchup. Last year, Bob Huggins took a knee on the basketball court because his defibrillator went off. It gave him a shock, and he went to his knee on the court. And I'm not joking when I say there's a possibility this guy could have a terrible health issue on the court. But he's a fascinating character nonetheless. And in terms of Mizzou and how they've responded since the Michael Porter Jr. injury/surgery news. The one thing I agreed with what Gordo had written and brought it up with Dave Matter the other day when we had him on. It's an opportunity for Konzo to show some of his coaching chops. And during this game against St. John's, when St. John's started to take control, they go to zone. They mixed up the defense they're doing. They were not necessarily going to be as much of a zone team we thought right now without Porter Jr., that maybe they were going to do more zone when they had him because of the length of their team. Without him, we know that it's not as much. But the fact that Konzo made a coaching decision that probably affected the outcome of the game completely, that's something you want to pay attention to. If you're a Mizzou fan and you're looking for just things to pay attention to with your team, the development of some of your own players, and also Konzo Martin showing his coaching ability. You saw some of that today.
And I'm watching this game, and then you look at the box score afterwards, and it is kind of a game that reflects the type of player Konzo Martin was, especially at Purdue. His NBA career wasn't very long, but he was such a tough, defensive-minded guy, and that 6'6" player who could also extend out and shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
And we know his teams are defensive-minded, but when you look at the box score, and if you're watching this game, Mizzou was raining threes all game long. They shot 52% from three. They were 14 for 27. I mean, you got to love that. And then the fact that they out-rebounded St. John's 41-27, that's another stat that coaches, especially guys like Konzo Martin, if you win that stat, they're going to be happy about it. And a really balanced scoring attack in this game. Jordan Barnett from CBC, he led the way. He had 19 points, 9 rebounds. Kevin Puryear had 15 points. Cassius Robertson had 17 and 5 assists. He was 5 of 7 from three-point range. Jontay Porter, one of those guys that's just all over the stat sheet. He had 16 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. He had 4 blocks in the game yesterday. And Jordan Geis has had 2 really good games in a row. He had 16 yesterday. And in this one, he has 11 points and 9 rebounds. And he, another one of those guys where he's just instant energy. Geis, he's a player you kind of love to watch in college basketball. He's got the tattoos. He's running around and kind of always, I don't want to call him a Wojo, but he's that type of guy. You know he's going to scrap.
Is he smacking the floor?
That's
the
type of guy.
That's the one thing I don't want from a player. I don't want to see the gritty-gutty white guy. I'm talking to you, Bobby Hurley, Steve Wojciechowski, Chris Collins.
To be fair, though.
J.J. Redick.
Now, hold on. Bobby Hurley, though, was so good that to me calling him gritty-gutty white guy, like Wojo was the gritty-gutty white guy because he was that intangible
guy.
Okay. But Hurley was actually a stud.
I can put Wojo and Chris Collins in that category, too. And
but like Redick, he was kind of a stud.
Yeah, but he's kind of the – he's your classic Duke villain, though, where I guess Wojo wasn't really Chris Collins. You have to be a certain level of good to be a Duke villain. Redick and Hurley were.
Redick's actually a big liberal. You would think that being at Duke, you just think of Duke like
you want to stereotype.
Upper crust.
I stereotype
which we all do this even with Christian Laettner. And if you watch that really good 30 for 30
yeah.
by the same director who did the Ric Flair documentary, you kind of, at least you don't remember or you forget that Christian Laettner was actually this really blue-collar dude from Buffalo New
yeah.
York. But then he goes to Duke and you just kind of, he's a good-looking dude. He's got the hair. It's Duke. It just kind of seems elitist, but that wasn't really
his upbringing.
He probably
didn't fit in well there. That's what I'm gonna. That's my belief now.
I don't know if I'll fit in well this weekend at Gold's Gym, but I should because it's fantastic. I've been going there for about 5 years, and I do love it when I get in there and get motivated, and I need to. Gold's Gym has been the world's trusted fitness authority since 1965. From its humble beginnings as a small gym in Venice, California, Venice Beach there, Gold's Gym has grown into a global icon with more than 700 locations serving 3 million people across 6 continents each day. St. Louis has 12 great area locations to choose from. It's more than a gym. Gold's Gym combines coaching, community, and more than 50 years of fitness expertise to help you achieve your potential through fitness. For more information or to download a free 3-day pass, visit www.goldsgym.com. Don't forget, you can get some free boot camps. And you have all the specials and training going on at Gold's Gym. We were there at their Manchester Meadows location for a remote a couple weeks back. And, of course, our station in Kirkwood is right next to the Gold's Gym location on Manchester and Woodlawn in Kirkwood. That's the one I go to. So check them out, Gold's Gym, and on the web at goldsgym.com. Real quick before we take a break, Mizzou football taking on Arkansas today. Final regular season game, and we know that Mizzou's going to get a bowl game. Mizzou favored on the road. And I'm wondering, I was reading Ben Fred's article this week about Jim Sterk saying that Barry Odom will get a third year.
Yeah.
And I think at this point we all assume that. Barry Odom winning 5 straight games, getting them to 6-5, getting to a bowl game, he deserves that third year. And I was kind of thinking when I heard that, though, don't you kind of wish that he wouldn't have said that this week? And I'm only talking from a motivational standpoint. Now, maybe this doesn't matter. You know, Barry Odom at this point, I think he knows he's coming back. But when you're on the hot seat as a coach, don't you think you're never going to work harder? You're never going to be more focused? Because you're literally coaching for your job. And don't you think there's just a little, even if it's little, a little bit of a deep breath, okay, I'm coming back. And I'm not saying, okay, he's going to work any less hard this week. But I just feel like, I'd have wanted that to happen after the Arkansas game, even though we all know he is coming back.
Yeah, I think that part of that declaration, though, probably is involving that mindset that it's a foregone conclusion now. Because if you're asked the question and you don't give, you know, what you know to be true as the answer, then you probably create a more complicated situation that probably doesn't need to be there.
I would have avoided the media for the last week.
Well, they do good at they do a very good job at that at times. Mizzou ADs, we've seen that in the past.
You know, I think Sterk's different though, and I've interviewed him a couple times in person and a couple times on the radio, and he is one of those guys where he will answer any question. And he's not a jerk about it, and he knows what you're going to ask anyway, but...
He's probably taught more already than Mac Rhodes ever did.
Well, Mac Rhodes was there about, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Was Mac Rhodes even there a full year?
I thought he was there, was it like 18 months?
I guess he was there long enough to
And then he goes to Waco, and my theory being, he actually was a huge fan of that show, Fixer Upper, which they have their own drama going on or whatever with that show, which is based in Waco.
Mm-hmm.
My theory was he just left because he wanted to be near that show so much.
Okay. I have seen that show. My wife is a big fan of it. I do like that that couple there, Chip and Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
So what are their issues? I'm not familiar.
I don't know.
With
I always, I've seen like them on the cover of like People magazine when I'm going through the line at the grocery store or something recently.
Magnolia?
What's
their store? I believe they have retail stores. The only controversy that I heard about, and again, this is where our world and politics, where you can't do anything anymore. You can't get a pizza, you can't get a burger without it somehow being political. But I think the issue or faux issue was that they went to a church and maybe the pastor of the church had some type of anti-gay message, and then everybody was asking them to speak out against it. I think that was the only thing that I had read about.
Okay, I just did a quick Google search. Now, apparently their show is done. They had to quit their show on HGTV and left HGTV. But they're eyeing a possible new show, it seems, right now.
I'm thinking network now.
That must be why they're once again on the cover again. But maybe the controversy being, why did they just up and quit HGTV and their Fixer Upper show when it was so successful to begin with? I don't know enough about it. I'm just aware of it. But you would have more of a command of that than me, just because you're along for the ride with your wife on that show, it seems.
I don't watch it that much. I do enjoy it. They're a fun, quirky couple, and he tells silly dad jokes and kind of has fun with it. Luckily, though, that if that show is no longer on HGTV, Fixer Upper, they still probably have another 8 or 9 shows that are the exact same, which is a cute little couple who flips houses and finds good deals.
Yeah, once a show like that becomes a success, the formula kicks in at that point.
It's a copycat league.
Yeah.
Football, sports, television. We're going to take a break real quick, but I want to tell you about first our party going on for the celebration. We're celebrating the repeal of Prohibition Day with Budweiser's limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager. It's a celebration of our freedom to brew. It's a rich amber lager with higher ABV than Budweiser and in a stubby bottle. The vintage look is inspired by the 1930s style of beer. You can find the 1933 Repeal Reserve in stores now, and consumers will want to pick it up ASAP because it's selling really fast. 590 The Fan will be hosting the Repeal of Prohibition Party at Filoni's on December 5th, the day of the Prohibition repeal. 590 The Fan will be on remote at Filoni's all day to celebrate. There will be AB Brewmasters, brand ambassadors, and special giveaways at the Prohibition Party. Keep listening as more details will come out on this great event. Coming up on the other side, we got the Grinder. Have you heard about this Manute Bol story, which is pretty interesting?
Is it about his son?
And him. It's more interesting about the late Manute Bol. We'll talk about that and also Ray Allen if we get to it. I know it's a couple days old, but I think that's fascinating as well. And Gardner's Grinder all coming up next on the Midday Grind. We are live at the Slider House, one of our favorite spots. We're here every Friday from noon to 1 for the Midday Grind and 1 to 2 for Hockey Sense with Andy Strickland. He'll be here a little later in the day, and he'll talk it over with Paul Kariya in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back on the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own.